Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Butch Kresovich, artistic director of the Duquesne Tambaritzans.
Yes.
You're the guy.
Yes. If you put it that way.
Now, what's a Tambaritzan?
A Tambaritzan, well, you see these instruments back here?
Yes, very nice.
That is a tambura. And early on in our history, probably, we've been around for 79 years.
Wow.
They thought about what are we going to call it. And it was a small group of gentlemen that played that instrument, the tambaritza. We called it was a tambura, but then we started to call it a tambaritza in this country, and we became the Tambaritzans. It's simple as that.
So the term tambaritzan originated here in Pittsburgh.
It did.
I didn't know that. I always figured it was a style, a performance form that came over from ancient Europe.
Well, in Europe, like I said, they referred to it as the tambura.
Uh-huh.
But then they said tambaritza here in America, and then it became the Tambaritzans.
Started here,
yes.
70 some years
ago. Well, we actually started in Texas.
Oh.
And actually, I will probably would need to really give you the details of the history, but a gentleman started at a college in Texas, Lester Pierce, mm-hmm. I believe, and he started the group, and another gentleman, Matt Guzet, he took the group over, and he traveled. I believe they made their way up through Minnesota, and they settled back in Pittsburgh here, because Pittsburgh was a place that had a melting pot of, and we were very well received here. And again, it was a very small group. It was more of like a floor show at the time.
Yeah.
And it was mostly the tambaritza instrument, and you had some singers and some dancers, and it evolved to what it is today. So really, tambaritzan is a Pittsburgh term.
Is it affiliated with any particular nationality or religious group?
I would say our base is Croatian because that instrument is really the national instrument of Croatia. It is played in different parts of the former Yugoslavia. It's played in parts of Hungary. But I would say we're based as a Croatian group, and then we branch out into a lot of Eastern European cultures.
Yeah, it's really iconic in Pittsburgh. I mean,
It is.
You've had a home here for many, many decades. You know, we're passing on the Boulevard of the Allies.
Yes.
We see the side of the building, and that's where we are today, in the Tambaritzan headquarters.
Absolutely, we're here.
What do you call it? The hive, the capital?
Oh,
what is it?
Well, we actually refer to it as TAB, Tambaritzan Administration Building.
Oh, okay.
And you wouldn't know that unless you were part of the organization, but any Tambaritzan that came through here, you'd say, hey, we're down at TAB, and they know exactly what that is.
You know, just walking through the building for the first time today, there's a lot of history here.
Yes, there is.
You know, we've got the instruments here, and coming through downstairs, seeing all the mm-hmm. photographs on
yeah.
the walls.
Well, let me speak to the photographs mm-hmm. downstairs. You came through that hallway. Anyone that was a Tambaritzan or anyone who was a staff member of any kind with this organization, they're down there on the Wall of Fame, and their picture is there.
And no kidding, because we're talking yes. ceiling to floor
yes.
framed
yes.
photographs.
In fact, in a few years, I don't know where we're going to even put the next set of photos.
I think you'll figure something out.
Because we're hanging around for a long time, I can tell you that.
Now, what does it take to be a Tambaritzan?
It takes, obviously, the talent. But I think it takes a lot of heart and soul. This is not for the faint at heart.
This is
you want to do this, you really have to have your heart and soul in it. It's a, obviously it's young people's thing, although my boss, Paul Vukic, we try to, you know, still get out there and play, but we can't keep up with these guys, their energy, you know. But no, what it takes is obviously the talent, but you've also got to be a good student. You've got studies, you got to balance the studies, you're on the road, you're traveling. And I'd say that takes an interest in the folklore and the culture of what we're doing here.
So when we say talent, are we talking particularly dance, physical movement talent?
No, I think that's a very good point that you bring up. I think a lot of people think of us as a dance ensemble. We have musicians, we have singers, we have dancers. What's interesting about our group, if you come to see a show, there's only 30 in the ensemble right now. And you'll see a lot of ensembles. I know I've worked in the business, professional music business, strictly a violinist or strictly a drummer, strictly a singer. Most of our people do 3-4 things, and they have to, because if you see our show, they move in and out.
Wow.
There's dance sets. We've got to have interesting parties. They need to change costumes. So someone's playing a number while someone's changing a costume. 4 people are changing. So I think we pride ourselves, and we've always been a versatile type of performing ensemble in that way.
And that's one thing that's always been very recognizable about the Tamboritzins, too, is the costume. It's a very, you know, signature look. Has that changed over the years at all?
I think it's evolved. I think when I see some of the early photos, it does look more like a floor show. It's funny. I think we're kind of morphing a little back around to what our beginnings were. We're becoming a little more contemporary in our look, and I see those old costumes way back when, they looked more like a dinner show. Then they got into the very authentic thing through the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and right up until now. And you know, we have museum pieces here that are well researched. They come from villages and things from overseas. And so now we're kind of sliding a little bit into more the streamlined entertainment, commercial entertainment venue of that, but respecting our past, respecting what our essence is.
Well, they say all things kind of come back in style. You
absolutely.
Know, bell bottoms are kind of
absolutely.
Back in,
absolutely.
And you know, culottes now you're seeing. So yeah, it works for Tamboritzins too. That's pretty
absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
So what where are the Tamboritzins now, and where do you see the group going in the future?
Well, where we are now. We've got a rich history. We've had a wonderful relationship with Duquesne University.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of call them our sponsor for the many years.
Sure.
They've you couldn't do folklore and art to this degree without that kind of support. Now we're making a move to a nonprofit. We're going to kind of have to stand on our own 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Part of what comes with that is the commercial end of selling our show.
Sure.
And so I think that's where we're now in that transitional balance of, we want to maintain that you know, what our identity has been, but we have to make ourselves very functional and viable in this new market.
Mm-hmm.
And entertainment, as you know, you're an entertainment person, it's a market that's got many different options for the viewer, for the audience. So we have to bear that in mind in the direction we're going.
Thank you. That was an honor to be called an entertainment person rather than hack, which is what I usually get.
No, you understand exactly. You know?
I do. Thank you very much.
You've got to reach your audience.
Sure. So it sounds like the group does a lot of traveling, performances on the road. Is that correct?
Yes. I think over the years, I know our current staff, Bob and George, our tour manager, when we were in the group, we did 120 shows a season, which I think for the workload with the school and everything was pretty demanding. So then it kind of went down into the center of that number, maybe down around the 70-80 range, and then we've been down in the 40s now. I think we want to up that somewhere and find that sweet spot where we can manage both things, still have you know, the college life and everything. And again, that's what we're still dealing with, students. When you see them on stage, you think it's a professional ensemble, and it is in every degree as far as what I see, but they're still students, and we always have to bear that in mind.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think attracts most people, and when they start out, I'm supposing they would be students, to become a Tamboritzin and to follow that path and to really put the dedication in? What do you see?
Well, I'm going to speak to it for myself. I think I was 7 years old the first time I saw a Tamboritzin show, and I saw it and I said, I want to do that. And I know multitudes of other people describe it the exact same way. They see it, it's something that draws a young person in. And then there's methods to get there, to set that goal. There's ways that you get there as far as your training, and we have things around Pittsburgh and some of the other big cities, Chicago, that groups that feed into this sort of thing. And I think that's part of it. Then we have some students who've never seen a Tamberitzen show, and someone told them about it, and they came out and auditioned, and it's a whole new life for them when they come here. And I've seen both, but predominantly, I think there's a lot of people that as a young person, they saw it and they were very impressed with it.
I'm visualizing this beautiful narrative. You remember you used to hear like, oh, this kid's going to run away with the circus when it comes into town. They're going to run away with the Tamberitzens.
You know,
they're going to get so impressed with the Tamberitzen show.
Absolutely.
I mean, has that ever happened? Have you picked up people on the road that are so impressed with it?
I think we've had people that have seen it, and we actually have auditions on the road.
We'll go
to a city and someone comes out and prepares an audition and comes out. I can remember over the years back when I was in, someone would say, hey, they're going to be in Chicago, and they show up and they audition, and you find some talent that you didn't expect to find. Always, we do have formal auditions every year in February, and I think that's another one of our challenges moving ahead is recruiting, getting the word out to young students. And I think another thing I like to get out is that I think some people think you have to grow up with this in order to be in this group. And that's not the case, because when you see if you see this year's show, it's a very contemporary show. We're utilizing all types of talent, trumpet players, violinists, keyboardists, not just the Tamberitzen, even though that's a big part of our show.
Mm-hmm.
We're expanding into that. So I think that's part of what, to your point about running off with the circus. If someone, I joke about the show, I said, I want to know what everything you guys do. I want to know all your hidden talents. If you're fire eater or you swallow swords, I want to know that, because I'm going to put it in the show.
All right. You're going to give Cirque du Soleil a run for their money, I tell you what.
Absolutely.
So you hear that, kids, you too can be a Tamberitzen.
There you go. Yeah. Come out and audition. That's what we say.
I think maybe the impression is that because it's so steeped in history, you know, that's why a lot of people feel maybe you have to grow up with it or know somebody on the inside, Uncle Bernie to get you in and make the phone call. So it's not like the Freemasons, then it's not a secret society.
Not by any means, and we don't want it to be. We want some exposure. Like I said, I think there was a time when people knew about it just by nature of ethnic cultures were celebrated a lot more at one time. And I think just because of, for whatever reason, younger people are doing different things today, a lot of sports and things like that. So we want to bring that back. We want to make it more central, and so the young people see that this is something that they might want to do.
No secret handshakes, anything like that?
No.
Well, what are some of the traditions of the group that are kept up today?
Oh, some of the traditions. Well, I think one would be is a lot of these entertainers on stage, they learn music from the show, but then they also learn what we call we used to have receptions a lot where we would go after the show, we would meet with our sponsors, and they would have food and a hall where we could go and dance, and all the guys that were musicians, one of the traditions is they learned all these dances. The kolo dance is a Croatian dance, and it's a circle dance, much like if you see the Greeks. So what they do is all these things we wouldn't necessarily perform on the show, they do at a reception, and they dance, and they turn it into a festival. So that would be one tradition that we would have kept up. I see the kids to this day, they all learn all those sort of like the stock things that everybody knows and the stock tunes that everybody knows. Sort of like we all know the Beatles songs. Well, we have that set of tunes that everybody knows.
Yeah. Do a lot of pierogies go down among this group?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm glad to hear that.
Well, the girls, I think every year they have a pierogi sale.
So. Yes. All right, so we can get excited about that. Pittsburgh loves Tamberitzens.
Well, I love the pierogies at the baseball game. In fact, I was trying to get them to talk them into one of our accordion players running with the pierogies.
Yeah. Oh, we've got to do that. Or have the try to teach the pierogies a little Tamberitzen move.
There is
a connection here to be made between Tamberitzens and pierogies.
Over there, so.
Let me call my people at Mrs. T's.
There you go.
Yep. T for Tamberitzen. See, we're really on to
like
something here.
Like
yep. Just cut
think.
Me in for 5%. We're okay. So what can we expect from some of the upcoming Tamberitzen shows? And I think because you produce maybe like one program
we do
per year
season. We're fresh out of our training camp. We train every year in August for actually 20 to 21 days is roughly. We put the entire show together in that amount of time. There's obviously a lot of prep work before we get there, but the camp consists of 6 days a week, 8 a.m. till 10 p.m. I think they just get Saturday night off and early Sunday off, and we're back at it again. And I know in the professional entertainment world, to put a show together of this caliber in 20 days, 21 days, they're working hard.
Yeah.
And so to your point, we're fresh out of camp. We've really only done the show, I think, probably about, we did about 8 shows on camp tour, which is our tour that we kind of work out our bugs. We go up in the upper Michigan area, Minnesota, and we started, because those are old audiences that have known us. And
they they're more forgiving, is
exactly,
that what you're trying to
exactly.
tell me?
You know, a little piece of caution falls off. They're not going to hold us to the task on it. So we do that, and then we come back to Pittsburgh. The students start school, and then we start our season. So so roughly, we do one show per year. Once it's together, we fine-tune it, and we run it and through May, May of this year. Yeah.
So where can your Pittsburgh fan base see you?
Boy, you get me. What's the next one? Greensburg. Greensburg would be the next local show that we would be doing. We just did one in West Mifflin that was really a great show. We're going to hopefully get some. There's another one that's going to be in South Fayette at the end of the season. We've got. We're trying to get back downtown here and do some of the big theaters. Back when we were in the group, we used to do Heinz Hall every New Year's Eve. So I know our executive director, Bob Vokich, is working on getting back into the big venues.
Hey, throwing a couple pierogies, I'll be there.
There you go.
Exactly. That's all it takes. Right. That New Year's Eve, Tambourism's, yes, and a good pierogi.
But you know, on our website, you can look up if there's a show near you. And there's some surrounding ones in the Pennsylvania area. And if you have relatives out of town, too, it's all listed there.
Yeah. So, I mean, aside from attending the performances and clapping loudly and cheering, how can we help support the Tambourism's?
Well, money's always a big issue. Anyone that wants to contribute, I'm not the official spokesman to tell you how to do that, but we have all of our promo that's out there, everything with our website. Please go to our website, and there's going to be more and more information being brought out there. There's another website being developed. All that's going to be there. Obviously, you know, finance is important with doing these kinds of productions, with our scholarships. General support, telling people about shows. If you've seen the show, tell someone, hey, I saw this great show. If you know, there's no kind of thing like a good reference of someone who's been to a show. So that's a big one there. And just overall presence in Pittsburgh.
Do you think perhaps I have what it takes to be a Tambourism?
Well, we're going to see that in a little while here.
Absolutely. Give it a shot.
We're going to put you in here and sort of your audition, I guess you would say.
Okay. Now, no preparation. You're getting...
Yeah.
What you see is what you get, all right?
And we're not giving you any hints as to what you might be doing.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm ready. In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.